Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, listeners. I am Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and we're so pleased to have you join us again for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. If this is your very first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad to have you join us. And as I share each week, it is my honor, my privilege, my pleasure to bring this show to you each and every Monday night from 5:30 until 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am so very excited about our special guest, and I will introduce her to you all in just a moment. I want to just take a quick moment out to remind everyone that today marks the last day of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But what I want people to take away from this show, as I share it, have shared in previous shows, is to not let the conversation end because the month of October is ending. We want to make sure that you get the tools and the resources that you need as you listen in on these broadcasts, but we want you to take that information and share it with your communities of responsibility and reach back out to those guests that you really gravitated to for more information and more insights. So again, this is October 31st, and we recognize that is the last day of Domestic Violence Awareness Month nationally, but we definitely want to encourage all of you to keep the conversation going and to make a conscious effort to move from conversation to change. So having said that, again, I just want to welcome everyone for tuning in again this week, and I am over the moon excited about our special guest this week. This week, I am honored to have Samaya Coleman to join our show. I want to tell you just a little bit about her, and then I'm going to bring her forward so that she can tell you even more about her. I'm going to just read just a snippet. I want you to know that she's the Leadership Program Director for the Women of Color Network Incorporated, which is out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She is also a steadfast, peaceful warrior from the South and has served for more than 20 years in various capacities as an advocate for all women, children, and communities to heal from domestic violence. She is a true leader. She is my friend. I am honored to say that she is my coach. And without further ado, I want to present to some and introduce to everyone else none other than Samaya Coleman. Samaya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Joyce. It's good to be on here with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm just honored. I'm just honored that you have the time to even come on the show and talk with us. So while we do have the pleasure of having you in our space for the next 30 minutes, I want to just jump right in with the questions so that everyone can learn more about who you are and what you do. So the floor is yours. Let our listening audience know a little bit about who you are and what types of services your organization provides. The floor is yours.
Okay. So, first of all, again, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. And, of course, I am just as honored to be on with you and so grateful for all the things that you're doing in your community. I am just so excited that you are forging things in your community in Memphis, Tennessee, and being a person from Tennessee, I just feel like you are here to change Tennessee and provide things that are long overdue. So I'm very glad to be on with you. You know, Joyce, I've been doing this work for a long time, so it's like I can talk about it from so many different vantages. But I just really want to have a conversation with you and not really focus on a lot of the things that I do, but just to kind of just talk about my journey a little bit. So I've been doing this since I was a child, if you include safety planning with my mother as a child. And, you know, back then they didn't have shelters. So, you know, it was how do I, as a child, keep my mom safe? And that was just about being her friend. So I think I've been doing the work for a long time. Otherwise, since around 1983, when I was living in Tacoma, Washington, and helping a Jamaican woman and her four children who were living on an Army base find safety at a domestic violence shelter at that time, that was a really interesting experience. It wasn't, you know, that I was her quote-unquote advocate, but I was her advocate. Mm-hmm. And so then around 1990, I began formally working at the YWCA Domestic Violence Shelter in Nashville, Tennessee, and I started there as a volunteer for a little while, and then I was hired for an advocate for about 3 years. And then I moved from there and worked with the Tennessee State Coalition, and then I had the most phenomenal experience ever, and one that I still learn from to this day. I started a comprehensive domestic violence program with a residential shelter for African-American women and Latinas. And from there, I've just been blessed to do national advocacy and training, like you said, with the Women of Color Network and with so many phenomenal That's just a little bit about, you know, what I've been doing and what I do.
And you know, I know you pretty well. So I just want the listening audience to be aware that when she said she gave just a little bit of what she does, she really means that. It's really just a little bit. There are so many facets and layers to you, Samaya, and I think that's one of the things that has always made me gravitate to you, because you are just such a wealth of knowledge. You know so much about so many things. I would encourage anyone in this listening audience, if you are not familiar with Samaya, please make sure that you get connected with her and get familiar with who she is and what she does. Your journey, your story, and the way that you present them is always fascinating to me, and I always learn something new about you as well as myself. So I just want to thank you for just being you and being so open and transparent with all of your experiences.
Thank you, Joyce. Yeah, and so, you know, I feel like I only mirror you, you know, that we are one, and in our heart, we are one heart, and, you know, we do what we do, and we've been blessed to be able to do this work and to touch lives and share information and be with one another as we all heal, you know. So with my work that I do with ShareTime Wise and Consulting Services, I support grassroots organizations like yours, you know, to do organization development and program development. And then the work that I do under the umbrella of the African American Black Women's Cultural Alliance, it's a national organization. You call it an organization, but I don't call it an organization because, you know, that word sometimes for me is very loaded when we're talking about organizations, especially nonprofit organizations. But it's called the African American Black Women's Cultural Alliance, and it provides a space for African American and Black women to support one another in their cultural approaches to the work or to you know, on a local as well as a national level. So you have, like, I have, like, women from about 24, 25 states that I'm in regular communication with, and we are African-American and Black women, and we're talking about, you know, specifically our cultural approaches to our work and how to you know, share this load of being able to do the work in African-American community. And then the work that I do with the Women of Color Network, well, that's it's a national network of women who are what I call insiders. We work within systems, with coalitions, and local programs to change organizational culture and to also enhance women of color leadership. You know, women of color are leaders. We are leaders. And so, you know, we don't make leaders. We just help to enhance the leadership that is there by using our curriculum that is, like, you know, teaches everything from grant writing to developing an organization to, you know, policy advocacy to community organizing. So, you know, we use that curriculum to help enhance women of color leadership, and also to address policies that impact our communities. So what we also do with the Women of Color Network is we provide anti-racism and anti-oppression training. And we hold leadership academies for advocates that are on the ground, for managers and for executive directors, with an emphasis on reaching women of color who are in leadership positions. So, yeah, that's how you and I are connecting right now, as you know, with me coaching. So that's what we do with the Women of Color Network.
And, again, she is giving snippets of all that she does and all the people that she's connected to and the work that she does. It's phenomenal. I personally have learned a lot, and I'm so glad to be part of the LEAP cohort this time around, to have been one of those women of color to be selected for that program, because that leadership, you know, education, advancement for professionals, that's what LEAP stands for. And I have learned so much already, and we still have so much work left to do. So I'm excited about it all. I'm grateful that I got connected with the Women of Color Network in the first place, which allowed me an opportunity to meet you. And I have to go back even a step further and just give thanks and shout out to Toni Porter, who is the co-founder of A Call to Men, because it was because of him that he connected me with the Women of Color Network and with you specifically, to learn more. He saw something in me, and I'm always grateful for that. He saw my yearning and my desire to learn more and to be the best and most effective leader that I could be in my community. And as I shared with him, he said, you know, I've got to connect you to this group of women. And he talked about you, and he talked about Tanya, and he talked about Lena, and said, you've got to get connected with them. And I promise you, when you get connected to those ladies, your life will not be the same. And he has been absolutely correct.
So that's very true.
And I thank you all so much for embracing me as a young upstart with this, not so much young in age, as I'm starting to approach a different milestone here pretty soon, but young and learning about the ins and outs of this advocacy work and how to bring in my experiences to help my community to be the best that it can be. And I have a specific emphasis on women of color because of some of the barriers that I have seen of us collectively. So, again, I'm just learning a lot from you all and taking the information that I'm learning and I'm putting it back into my community. So I guess this is a good segue for me to ask you how people can get in touch with you if they want to get further involved with any of the programs that you're involved in.
Okay. So, you know, before I answer that question, I just want to circle back for a minute on two things.
Sure,
I remember the first time I met you, Toni Porter, what a call to men. I was working with them, he and Lena Warvey, in Nashville, Tennessee. We were doing some call to men organizing work, and you attended that, and I met you then. And so it was then that I think I felt that connection to you and to your passion. And then as we have worked together in the LEAP project, the Leadership Education and Advancement Program with WOCN and CalCasa out in California, Joyce, I've been able to learn from you as well, and to see that you have lots of information and knowledge and gifts and talents that you bring to the table. And so I just want to make sure that that is said, because
you definitely
play a role in teaching us as well. I don't believe in a hierarchy of leadership, you know. I believe that we are leaders that are able to share what we know and what we have with one another, and together collectively we have what is called collective empowerment and collective liberation. And so, so I just wanted to make sure that that gets said too. because that is very important and that is very true.
You.
Yes, I
thank
honor
you so
my
much.
Sister, absolutely. So in terms of how people can get in touch with me, so because I do a wide range of things, people can get in touch with me on Facebook at Samaya Coleman. And also people can get in touch with me at a couple of email addresses. One is sharetimewisely@gmail.com. And the other, they can get in touch with me at S, as in Samaya, S. Coleman at wobninc.org. So all three of those are the best ways to, you know, to get in touch with me. Yeah.
And as I share each week on this show, I always encourage people to go back and listen to the replays if you happen to have jumped on late or there's a point that's been made that you may have missed. Please make sure you go back and listen to the replays. In addition to that, we share the information about our special guests on our website and on our social media platforms as well, because we really, really, really want to make sure that you get connected, stay connected, and as I said at the top of the show, take the resources that you hear and put them back into your communities, into your homes, your churches, wherever your place of responsibility may be. And don't just hear it and take it lightly. When I tell you that I am very selective about the individuals that I have on this show, it's for a reason. I want to have people around the country who are doing the work, are committed to advocacy, can provide useful, tangible resources, and have a real heart and passion for what they do. When I sound excited every week, it is not an act. I know these individuals, or I've had the opportunity to work with them or even connect with someone who's connected with them. And so, again, Samaya is no exception to that. So anyone who has missed any part of the show, please make sure that you go back, listen to the replays, and, of course, you can get their information via our social media and website outlets as well. So, Samaya, I want to touch on something really quickly here with you that I ask all of our guests, and that is what you find to be the most gratifying about what you do, and then what you may find to be the most disheartening or challenging about what you do.
Okay. So I think they're probably one and the same.
Okay.
So one of the things that is most gratifying for the work that I've done over the years and that is top of mind as gratifying for me is something that I'm most grateful for, which is to have led the Free Marissa Now campaign. The Free Marissa Now mobilization campaign is an opportunity that allowed for and called upon every experience I've had in doing this work across the country for over 20 years. When Antonia Drew Van, who is in Wisconsin, called me in 2012, to tell me about Marissa Alexander, who was a young black woman who fired a warning shot to prevent her abuser from killing her and was being sentenced to 20 years, I'm telling you, some holy and righteous indignation, along with my ancestors, stood up in me like never before. it was then that, you know, after I looked at it and prayed about it, I started what we call the Free Marissa Now Mobilization Campaign, and for the sake of time for your listeners, because we don't have a lot of time, for the sake of time, you know, your listeners can just go to our website. It's freemarissanow.org, and it's the same. Everything was Free Marissa Now on Facebook, on Twitter, on all of that, so they can go back to, you know, look at all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the long story short, after an appeal was won, the case went from 20 years to serving three consecutive 20-year sentences, which would make her spend 60 years in prison. And so our thing was no, she will not be left behind. This woman, this black woman will not be you know, violated in this way with this systemic racism out of the state of Florida after George Zimmerman had been acquitted. It was just like, no, that can't happen. So, you know, this country stood up in masses to say no. So in January 2014, she made a plea bargain and was sentenced to 2 years house arrest with community control. And now she's looking forward to freedom in 90 days in January 2017.
Wow.
And you know, I am so grateful. You talk about gratification. I am so grateful
yes.
to God and so excited about the best part of this journey, that she will be free, that she will be free.
Yes.
So, yeah, so when I say the most, you ask me what is the most gratifying and what is also the most disheartening, that is one and the same.
Very much so. Very much so. And I'm so glad to hear that update. So thank you for sharing. And I do hope that the listening audience will actually go to that site and look it up and read, because there are so many, and again, not a lot of time for this, but there is so much injustice, so much systemic racism that needs to be addressed. And she is an extreme case, but unfortunately we have so many that are that way, that may not ever get heard or ever get the attention that is so rightly deserved. So I'm so very glad to hear that she will actually be able to experience freedom come January.
Yeah.
That's not too much further away. So I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing her actual date of release.
Yeah, that you know, one of the things that is, I have to say about that case too, is that, you know, we as a community, you know, a national community, watched the hunting of her life. You know, and so there was a groundswell of actions around that. And what is so important about that is that, like I said, everything that I had learned up until that point in my work of addressing domestic violence was a resource in my hand that I could share to affect someone else's life and to ensure, you know, to do all that we could to ensure that that woman would be free. And so, you know, the whole notion of helping someone else to live and to be free and not spend 60 years in prison, state of Florida, you know, there's a part of me also that is set free in helping to help someone else be free. And so that within itself is one of the most gratifying experiences I've ever had in my life.
Well, with that being said, I will transition into the last few minutes of our interview by asking you if you have any events that are coming up, and if there's anything that our listening audience can do that would further aid you with the work that you do.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So there are two events that are coming up. One is, of course, our Leadership Academy, our LEAP Academy that's coming up, but that's not a public event, but it is an event that's coming up. You know, I'm excited that you will be able to be a part of that academy as well.
Yes.
That's in December the 15th and the 16th. And while all of that is going on, my work with the Freedom of Risk Mobilization work that continues, we are preparing, absolutely we're preparing for her release in January. And so I would like to ask all of your listeners if they would help support us in this last leg of our mobilization work, where we're preparing for a celebration of her release, that you would continue to go to our Facebook page for sure, where we will be asking the community to take certain actions on a regular basis leading up to that release and up to the celebration So if you could just get help us to get people to continue to follow us and also to help us to get new followers, that would be very, very helpful. We want to welcome Marissa back into our community. She has been on house arrest for 2 years with an ankle monitor on her leg with community control. And, you know, this is a woman who was violated by her estranged husband at that time, and he never served one day for the abuse that he, you know, perpetrated against her over their relationship. And so for her to have been victimized in the ways that she was, terribly so, and then for her to only fire a warning shot and her life to be, you know, for her to spend over 1,000 days in prison, in, you know, in the system, you know, we want to really celebrate her and make her feel welcomed back into our community. And this gives advocates an opportunity all over this country to say, again, how much we care about women, how much we care about this particular person and her family, and to do what we can for restoration, you know? So, yeah, so that definitely would be a great big help.
Okay. And then that is something that I am personally going to make sure that I stay committed to and spread the word, and we will share the information in our social areas of responsibility with the encouragement that others will take hold and share it and so on and so on and so on. So having said that, we're going to wrap up our show for today. I will share my last few points just to remind those of you who have been faithful listeners, and as well as to inform those of you who may be joining us for the first time, that Walking Into a New Life's mission is to share tangible resources for individuals who have been affected by domestic violence. And by tangibles, we mean anything that you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And this is not limited to just the victims and survivors themselves, but we're looking at the families, the communities, how to get them educated so that they are aware of the signs, aware of what things to do, what things not to do, and how to help individuals transition from a state of victim to victorious. So my goal personally, as well as organizationally, is to make sure that no man, woman, or child has to endure the things that I endured, as well as my family, with dealing with issues surrounding DV. We're also looking at other ways to communicate and partner and collaborate with others in terms of policy, and really civic engagement. We find here in Memphis specifically that we are very limited on what's being shared and presented in the areas of policy. So that is an area that, Samaya, we are really, really looking at a lot more closely, and I'm definitely going to be talking more in more detail about that as we move forward in the next phase of what Walking Into a New Life is doing. So as we come to a close, I want to remind everyone that it's Saturday from 10 until 12 p.m. If you are in Memphis or if you know someone who is, encourage them to attend the 6th Annual Men's Domestic Violence Program. We're hosting it with the Family Safety Center this year. This is our 6th year where we honor men in the community who are advocates for domestic violence, sexual assault. They serve as mentors in their areas of responsibility. It gives an opportunity for men to network with other men. We have male survivors that are there. We have some that have actually been perpetrators but want to learn more about how to transition and transform their lives so that they can be more productive, their families with their friends, and just learn more about themselves. So, again, we want to encourage you to come out for this free event. It's from 10 until 12 at Innovation Church, which is located on Overton Crossing right here in the Frazier area of Memphis, Tennessee. So, Samaya Coleman, thank you so much for being our special guest. We want to thank our listeners for tuning in each and every week and being so faithful to us. And as I close, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. We want you to be blessed, and we thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.